Good morning and may it please the court. My name is Lieutenant Jessica Ford and I represent the appellant, Seaman Apprentice Darren Ward Jr. Chief Judge Baker, with the court's permission, I'd like to reserve 2 minutes of my time for rebuttal.
Granted.
Thank you, Your Honor. For 50 years, this court's precedent has been clear. Systematic exclusion of members by rank is prohibited. But that is exactly what happened here. The government cannot meet its burden to show lack of harm from this exclusion because United States versus Kirkland applies.
Where this Counsel?
Yes, Your Honor.
Wasn't this issue waived?
No, Your Honor.
You've got a general order for which defense counsel is chargeable with knowledge. For that matter, the appellant is chargeable with knowledge. We don't need to go there. The order says, send me only these people in these grades. Counsel litigated the panel at some length, made some challenges. Some of them were accepted. Counsel could get a good look at the vendor, could see that it matched the order. The issue wasn't raised. Why isn't it waived?
For several reasons, Your Honor. First, because this court should apply the law of the case doctrine here. The lower court considered this argument made by the government and found that it was not waived, and in fact there was a discovery violation by the government for failing to turn over this instruction. This instruction apparently was not publicly available. So the defense did not have notice of the substance of the instruction. So this is why the issue is not waived. Now, turning to Kirkland, Your Honor.
Wait a minute. It's a general order and it's not available?
It appears to not be publicly available, Your Honor. At the lower court, appellant attempted to submit a motion to attach a Google search showing that it is not available online, and the lower court denied it.
Is it a general order or isn't it?
It's an instruction, Your Honor, to subordinate.
It's issued by Two-Star, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. It's an instruction of general applicability within the command.
To the subordinate commands, yes,
right.
Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, Your Honor. Turning to Kirkland, the government conceded this court in Bartlett clarified three different member selection prejudice determinations depending on the error. First, if the error is only administrative in nature. The second, if there's a systematic exclusion. And the third, if there's unlawful command influence. Here, there was a systematic exclusion, so the government has the burden to show a lack of harm. Here, the government in its answer has conceded that Kirkland is still good law. There and here, subordinate commanders were under substantially similar impermissible quota systems of member nominees. In that case, this court held there was an unresolved appearance that potentially qualified court members below the grade of E7 were excluded. So reversal of the appellate sentence was appropriate to uphold the essential fairness and integrity of the military justice system. If there was an appearance of impropriety requiring reversal in Kirkland, as the government acknowledges in its answer at pages 18 and 19, the same impropriety is present here. And in fact, the facts here are even worse than those in Kirkland for several reasons. First, the command here issued a formal written instruction to violate the provisions of Article 25 and the holding in Kirkland. They were on notice this was not allowed, and they still did it anyway, in direct contradiction to Kirkland's holding. Second, this was a hidden instruction that appeared to not be publicly available. The defense shop did not have notice of it, and the trial defense counsel submitted an affidavit as part of the clemency process stating no one in the defense shop had noticed, was aware of it. Third, the lower court held that there was a discovery violation on the government's part. The defense specifically requested all materials relied on by the convening authority and subordinate commands in culling nominations, and this was not turned over to the defense. So any error should be against the government here for not allowing Seaman Apprentice Ward to litigate this at trial. Fourth, the second force judge advocate who submitted an affidavit said he would have recommended a new panel had he been aware of this issue, and in fact did recommend a new panel and a separate court-martial that had this exact same issue. Fifth, Seaman Apprentice Ward was a very junior enlisted personnel. He was an E2, and he was tried by a panel of mostly chiefs, E7s and above, who were very senior in him in rank, and the disparity was very great because he was so junior. And then sixth, the same convening authority who allowed this instruction to continue and who did not disclose it to the defense then denied the defense post-trial relief when they raised it in clemency after they finally received the instruction. So these facts make this case even worse than Kirkland, Your Honors. Seaman Apprentice Ward is entitled to a trial that is not only fair, but that also appears to be fair. And we don't, yes, Your Honor.
Can you explain to me why it is that it's not fair because he was tried mostly by chiefs?
Your Honor, because...
What does the disparity in rank, why wouldn't it cut exactly the opposite way?
Yes, Your Honor. These chiefs were invested in the military system. They are career members who would like to continue their career. And they're going to have a very different perspective than junior enlisted. In the Navy, there's a bit...
Suggesting that they can somehow have repercussions against them for how they vote on a court-martial?
Oh, excuse me, Your Honor. I didn't catch that.
You're suggesting that there will be repercussions against them based on how they voted a court-martial?
Not necessarily, Your Honor. Just their...
What does their time and service have to do with them being fair and impartial towards the opponent?
Their perspective is going to be different than, for instance, a petty officer or a seaman in the Navy, just because they have been part of that system that long. Because they're invested in that very system, their perspective is going to be very different.
Why might it not be more fair?
They could be. They could be, Your Honor, but there is still that perception issue that these most junior ranks, the vast majority of enlisted members in the Navy, were excluded. So there is still that suspect issue of why were these members excluded here.
Is there any suggestion that these particular panel members were not impartial and fair?
The way that the members were selected is the issue here, Your Honor.
So when you're arguing prejudice, you're not arguing that he did not receive an actual fair and impartial panel.
In Kirkland, Your Honor, this court did not look to see what the actual panel did or how voir dire and challenges went, but looked at how the panel was selected.
No, I understand that, I'm trying to get at what is Article 25 ultimately about? Is the purpose of Article 25 to ensure that people are tried by fair and impartial panels? Is the purpose to ensure that enlisted personnel have the opportunity in some manner to be tried by their more senior peers? What is the purpose, and therefore if you don't know the purpose, you can't test for prejudice. What is the purpose in the view of appellant?
Several responses to that, to Your Honor.
And where do you find that?
Yes, Your Honor. One of the purposes of Article 25 is to allow all enlisted members, if an enlisted member chooses that form, to be eligible. Congress could have put a rank restriction in Article 25, but they did not under Article 25 Delta 2. And in Article 25 Charlie 1, it specifically says any enlisted member who is not a member of the same unit is eligible.
I don't think anyone's contesting that there was a problem with the selection criteria.
Yes, Your Honor.
Prejudice.
Yes, Your Honor.
That in turn turns in some part on whether there was an improper motive or purpose.
Not necessarily, Your Honor. If there was an...
Let me ask this a different way. Mm-hmm. Do you think that is there anything in the record that suggests that the convening authority had an improper motive or purpose in making this selection criteria?
We don't have anything about this convening authority, Your Honor, but we don't know the convening authority who enacted this instruction in 2008, what that individual's motives were. What we do know is they enacted this instruction that was substantially the same as the one in Kirkland that this court prohibited. So from that very reason, the fact that convening authority had no respect for this court's precedent, a bad motive could almost be inferred from that, Your Honor.
Can Bartlett and Kirkland be construed together?
Yes, Your Honor.
And how do we do that?
Yes, Your Honor. Bartlett and Kirkland can coexist. The reason is in Bartlett, that was a novel criteria examined for the first time by this court. The Kirkland factor, that systematic exclusion by rank, convening authorities have been on notice that this is prohibited for decades, and yet they continue to do it. Bartlett and the facts that this court looked at in Bartlett would be more appropriate for novel issues that convening authorities are trying to comply with Article 25, but just weren't on notice that it was prohibited.
So you wouldn't apply Bartlett here because of that distinction?
Yes, Your Honor. And if this court were to apply the Bartlett facts here, the government still can't show lack of harm under those.
And you wouldn't apply it based on the fact that Kirkland had been issued, and so they were aware of that prohibition?
Yes, Your Honor. It goes to this appearance issue along with all of the other facts, that there was a discovery violation, a secret instruction that was not available, and then this convening authority still denied relief once it came to light.
This instruction was put out 6 years before?
2008, Your Honor.
And it was kept a secret for 6 years? It's a general reg, and nobody knew about it for 6 years?
From the record?
Except the people who were picking members?
From the record, Your Honor, it appears to be that way. And the two force judge advocates even stated that the current convening authority, only had constructive notice of this instruction.
Is there any way you prevail if we follow Bartlett?
Yes, Your Honor. It's a harder argument, but we still should prevail. If this court looks at the same facts that this court looked at in Bartlett, the government still can't prove a lack of harm. Now, to go over each in turn, for the first Bartlett factor, was the person who enacted the instruction, did they act with an improper motive? I briefly touched on that. That's unknown in this case. We don't know what the convening authority in 2008, why they enacted this. We do know that they should have been on notice this was prohibited.
Why don't we care about the convening authority that actually selected the members in this case, as opposed to the convening authority from umpteen years ago that enacted the instruction?
Because at least the Your Honor, the convening authority here was on constructive notice that this instruction still existed and still allowed it to continue. So it was still following these procedures of this impermissible instruction.
Well, if the convening authority is on constructive notice, so does defense counsel.
They had no way of knowing about it, Your Honor. They didn't know the substance of the instruction.
I don't know where you're going. Go ahead.
If you had an improper motive, wouldn't you have UCI as well?
Yes, Your Honor. And that goes towards the second Bartlett factor, or fact examined Bartlett. Was there evidence that the convening authority's motives were anything but benign? We don't necessarily have that with this convening authority here, but as Your Honor stated, that would put in that into the UCI realm, and the government would have a higher prejudice determination. For the third Bartlett factor, was the convening authority authorized to convene a general court-martial? Yes, absolutely he was, and that's in fact always going to be present in this type of cases. Otherwise, Seaman Apprentice Ward would have raised a jurisdictional issue. For the fourth Bartlett factor, was Seaman Apprentice Ward tried by members personally chosen by the convening authority from a pool of eligible members? The pool here is incomplete is the issue. It was improperly tainted before it even got to the convening authority for selection. For the fifth Bartlett factor, did the members meet the Article 25 criteria? Seaman Apprentice Ward is not conceding that, but countless other members were also impermissibly excluded who would have met that criteria as well. For the sixth Bartlett factor, was the panel well-balanced? Seaman Apprentice Ward is also not conceding that, but the ends can't justify the means here. The members were still improperly selected under in direct contradiction to this court's precedent in Kirkland. Very rarely do we have a government actor knowing what the law is and then doing the exact same thing that this court and congressional intent has said is prohibited. Under those circumstances, there is an appearance of unfairness, and any reasonable person would not trust convictions or sentence that comes out of the system. It undermines the entire integrity of the system. Now, Seaman Apprentice Ward is not asking this court to create any new law or precedent, merely to enforce the statute as written by Congress and to follow Kirkland's precedent here.
Under your argument in Kirkland, aren't you coming off of close to a structural error?
Under Kirkland, in this case, Your Honor, this court would still have to look at the general appearance and the specific facts of the case. So this case is even more egregious than Kirkland. So we're not asking for a structural argument, just still each case has to be reviewed on the facts.
If the facts are that they were improperly selected, therefore there's necessarily prejudice.
It depends on the way they were improperly selected, Your Honor, and then also the other facts surrounding it. And here we have the discovery violation, the not publicly available instruction, and the convening authority denying further relief once this did come to light. So the facts here, this is the exact same situation as Kirkland, where this court said to uphold the essential fairness and integrity of this system, reversal was appropriate, and it's also appropriate here. Otherwise, we have exactly what Judge Efron warned against in his dissent in Doughty, where we have a flawed process that produced multiple felony convictions. We have a criminal record that was not only imposed without a trial by jury, but through a process that failed to apply the procedures in lieu of trial by jury. Under these circumstances, Your Honors, where the command ordered substantially the same prohibited processes in Kirkland, the order was not publicly available, the command refused to disclose it, despite the defense's request, and then the court finds that they
refused to or failed to?
Failed to, Your Honor. Failed to. Thank you, Your Honor. And then the lower court finds that the government met the burden of lack of harm. Anyone looking at this system and these facts would doubt the convictions born out of this system. So for these reasons, this court should reverse the lower court. Pending any other questions, I would reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal, Your Honors.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Counsel for the government.
Good morning, Chief Judge Baker, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Major Suzanne Dempsey, and along with Colonel Mark Jamison, I represent the United States in this matter. There are two reasons to affirm. First, there is no systematic exclusion. No case prohibits the convening authority from directing a subordinate command to submit grade-specific nominations.
Okay, counsel, I want to follow up on this order. Was this a general order issued by a predecessor in command to the present two-star?
Correct, Your Honor.
Was this order published in any system of orders?
Presumably, Your Honor, it was.
Presumably.
Then why did the CCA find a discovery error?
Your Honor, it was the instruction was not specifically requested. However, it was not turned over in the discovery process.
But the CCA found that the request was general enough to include it. Isn't that correct?
Correct, Your Honor. That's what the CCA found. And
if it were published in a system of orders, presumably you're chargeable with knowledge of it. You wouldn't have to ask for it. So what's going on here?
Correct, Your Honor. And that issue is not before this court today. It's only the instruction itself and not whether the discovery violation.
We'll talk
but,
about
but I, I, you didn't appeal, the government didn't appeal it, right?
Correct, Your Honor.
So what is the current status this aspect of the case? Do we operate on the assumption that this order was generally available and the defense had it or should have had it, or do we operate on the basis of what the CCA concluded?
At this point, when what the CCA concluded, Your Honor, it's not in front of this court.
So the government concedes?
No, Your Honor, the government doesn't concede, and we raised the issue below.
Well, it seems like you just conceded.
No, Your Honor, it's just not in front of this court.
Well, it's the law of the case, then. The CCA's ruling on the fact that this was a systematic exclusion and the fact that there was a discovery violation were not certified by the government, although we amended our rule 6 years ago to allow the government 30 days after any case is granted so they can certify any issue that they want to hear. The only issue that we granted here was whether or not there was prejudice. So the rest of it is the rule of the law of the case. And that, you're correct, that is not before us, but that's the status of the case as we're looking at it today.
Counsel, just to be clear, the CCA found that there was that the discovery request included this instruction, right? That it was
yes, Your Honor. You know,
it didn't find that it wasn't otherwise available, did they?
No, Your Honor.
But even if it's otherwise available, if it's requested, the government has to turn it over.
Yes, Your Honor, the government would have to turn it over.
So really today we're talking about the prejudice issue up here at this level.
What was that, Your Honor?
At this level, before this court today, we're talking about prejudice.
Correct, Your Honor, but also in terms of the error that occurred, because under Bartlett, the issue is necessarily included in the granted issue, because under Bartlett, the burden depends on the manner in which the error occurred. And so looking at Bartlett specifically, the burden of prejudice from non-constitutional error in detailing court members depends on how it occurred. So we have McLean on one end of the scale, and there's Upshaw on the other end of the scale. And where does this case fit into that scale? And the lower court did not answer the question of how does this order contravene Article 25 specifically? And if so, if it does contravene Article 25, how?
Well, in Kirkland, you just had a form, and we said, now you got an order and a form. Isn't this a fortiori?
Your Honor, that form was submitted by the legal office in Kirkland, and this is different because this is an instruction issued by the convening authority who is expanding his pool of nominees because he has all of his staff available and he's soliciting nominations and directing his
support. No. That goes to his purpose. That's not my question. My question is, isn't this a stronger, you know, if Kirkland is still good law, and all you had in Kirkland was a form, and we made it turn on the fact that there wasn't a blank on the form for certain grades. And here you got an instruction from the two-star saying, don't send me anything but these people. Isn't that a fortiori from Kirkland?
No, Your Honor, it's different because the form was sent out. It was from who the form was sent, and it was signed by the Special Court Martial Convening Authority, who was limiting the pool for the convening authority. In this case, it is the convening authority who is actually expanding his pool of nominees based on he has all of his staff available to him, and he's requesting and directing these nominations from the subordinate commands.
How is he expanding it if he is excluding certain ranks?
Your Honor, he's not excluding any ranks. He's just not including the thousands of people who are attached to the subordinate commands.
Let's just assume for the sake of argument that we disagree with you on the issue of whether the selection criteria excluded or didn't exclude people, okay?
Yes, Your Honor.
Can you focus why, even assuming that he did impermissibly exclude people, why the government should win using the Bartlett factors?
Yes, Your Honor.
Which would be the prejudice question that Judge Urban was asking you about.
Yes, Your Honor. Under the Bartlett factors, it depends on where this court places the error on the Bartlett scale. So in this case, if this court finds that the instruction contravenes Article 25, the defense has the burden to show that there's...
Can you go through the Bartlett factors 1 through 6 and just give us the government's view?
And the first factor, there was no evidence of improper motive here because the defense has the burden to establish improper motive, and they have not set forth any improper motive here. The convening authority was obviously authorized to convene general courts martial. He was sentenced by members who were personally selected by the convening authority. As indicated in the SJ's affidavit, there was no intent by the commander to systematically exclude anybody. That's on 179 of the joint appendix. The SJ advised the commander that he could select anybody within his claimancy. That's on 179 in the joint appendix.
What's a claimancy?
All of his subordinate commands, Your Honor.
And what should we do with Kirkland at this point in this case? How should we apply the holding in Kirkland?
Your Honor, this court should not necessarily apply the holding, but the test is still valuable to show that the defense has the burden to show that there was no improper motive. And then Bartlett now establishes the three-prong different tests of where the cases actually fit on this scale. Furthermore, the convening authority specifically indicated in his affidavit on 185 that he has never issued any direction to his fourth judge advocate or members of his staff regarding a desired outcome in any court-martial. He's never issued any instructions to base his detailing decisions on rank. That's on 185. The only guidance that the convening authority ever discussed with his subordinates were the Article 25 factors. That's on 185. He never had an intent to systematically exclude anybody on the basis of rank alone. That's also 185. His only objective was to impanel a fair and impartial panel and those who were best qualified. Based on all of the affidavits that are in the joint appendix, the Bartlett factors are satisfied.
It seems like in the absence of improper motive, it's pretty easy to just exclude grades, and there's really no consequence. Because under the Bartlett factor, the appellant always loses. As long as you end up with an impartial jury or panel, and as long as the convening authority doesn't have anything that indicates improper motive, basically you can exclude all the grades you want, because it's never going to be prejudicial. What's the protection against that? We've had cases out there for years that say, don't exclude whole grades. And if you do, the penalty is we go through this test that requires a proper motive. Do you understand my concern here? It doesn't necessarily impact whether this case is decided one way or the other, but It seems to me if Article 25's concern about, or the case law's concern about excluding entire grades of personnel from the panel, doesn't really, there's not much kick to it. Because as long as you put senior people on the panel, they're going to be the most experienced, they're going to qualify under Article 25, and therefore they'll never be prejudiced. What's the government's response?
Your Honor, the defense can set forth other evidence, not just that there's a motive to stack the pool. They could show statistical data to show potentially that there's this appearance that the community authority would be stacking the pool and that they don't include lower ranking. But generally, the people who are higher ranking are going to be the ones who are meeting the Article 25 criteria.
So it sounds like there's really no consequence if there is a rule at all about excluding grades, as long as you exclude junior grades.
No, Your Honor. The community authority cannot exclude grades, and that's not what was done in this case either. The community authority was simply expanding his pool.
I understand. Okay, so now the convening authority, or the SJA writes a thing, says, pick from the following grades, E8. That's all we have. And there's a great impartial panel. So there's no prejudice because it's impartial. The CA didn't say anything like, I want to do this so we can pick. Just to pick E8s. And there's no consequence.
Your Honor,
what's the protection there? What's the consequence?
Article 25 gives the community authority great discretion to apply Article 25 criteria as long as it's not for an improper motive in terms of stacking the pool. And the convening authority is given that discretion.
So it's all right to exclude certain ranks from the potential pool?
No, Your Honor, not to exclude the ranks. And here we don't have an exclusion.
No, I'm talking hypothetically, though. I'm testing the validity or the strength of the Bartlett test. You don't have to concede your case. Take it outside your case for a second. And now address Judge Erdman's question, please.
Your Honor, they could be able to bring forth statistical evidence at trial to try to challenge the member selection process of that convening authority.
Well, let's just say hypothetically, is it permissible for a convening authority to exclude a certain rank or several different ranks from the potential pool of members?
Not on the basis of rank alone, Your Honor. That precedent has established that.
But so long as there's no improper motive, what's the consequence?
The consequence could potentially be a new panel if it's raised early enough in the process.
You go to the military judge.
Correct, Your Honor.
And so that gets us back to whether or not there is waiver in this case.
Correct, Your Honor.
History instruction.
What's the status of this instruction now?
Based on the affidavits, they are not using it. This command is no longer convening general courts marshals.
But it's still in effect.
Correct, Your Honor. And this, if instruction is used throughout the Navy to the member selection process.
This is a knockoff of a general Navy regulation of a SECNAV?
No, Your Honor.
Well, you said it was used throughout the Navy. What do you mean by that?
Correct, Your Honor. There's two other example instructions that are used by other commands
right,
in the Navy.
Yeah, right, and they're the same instruction.
They have different language, Your Honor.
But they do the same thing.
No, Your Honor. They don't exclude anyone. This is the purposes of the order are to serve a valid military purpose to obtain a pool of potential.
They operate in the same way.
Yes, Your Honor, okay. But it has specific policy reasons of why that they would want to include and have specific rank restrictions. Because if they don't include the rank restrictions and they need people to serve on these panels in a standing pool, they're not going to get qualified people who meet the Article 25 criteria. Because if the community authority just...
Well, so you're going back to what the chief judge said, which is... Senior people are always more qualified under 25.
Yes, Your Honor, and they're also the more likely to be unavailable in the future, and there's fewer of them in available to serve on the panel in the first place. That is why the importance of these instructions to have a standing pool of people who are qualified, who can serve on a courts martial, and it also minimizes the impact on the command in so that they know who they have to provide for court martial duty. And the person who's going to be serving also knows that they could potentially be called to duty. So it minimizes the impact and promotes the good order and discipline within the armed forces so that the Navy, that the commander can know. It minimizes the impact on the commander.
I just want to make sure I understand your argument. By having the convening authority exclude everyone below E7 and above O6, they are actually expanding the potential pool of members rather than constricting it.
In this case, Your Honor, they're expanding the pool because the convening, based on the affidavits in 178 and 180, every person who checked into Airlance staff filled out a questionnaire, and all of those were available to the commander. As he went out and requested nominations from all of his subordinate commanders in these specific raids to ensure that he had sufficient members and where they were well-balanced. But he had all the ranks available from his immediate staff, and every staff member submitted a questionnaire who checked into the airline command based on the affidavits that were submitted by the SJAs.
And he not only had them available from all the ranks, but the SJA advised him that he could select people outside of that, those names that had been submitted through this process, correct?
Correct, Your Honor. The convening authority was aware that he could select anybody within his clemency.
Well, then what's the purpose of the instruction?
The instruction is to submit a standing pool of nominees that will be available. So it minimizes the disruption to the command.
So you can pick from any rank based on the advice that was given to him by his SJA, but under the instruction, here is the preferred individual you should look at?
No, Your Honor, they're not the preferred. It's the people who were submitted based on the instruction. But they would be recommended from the SJ, who would forward them up to the committee authority.
And the people who were submitted were only people that were included within those ranks?
No, Your Honor. They would be based on the submissions received, but also any other ones that the command or the SJA had received. Not just, they weren't exclusive. They didn't exclude anybody.
But the list that went to the convening authority, did that include individuals E7 and below and O6 and above?
It's unclear from this case, Your Honor, what specific members went to the convening authority. It's not on the record.
But there was nobody selected that was above or below those criteria?
Correct, Your Honor.
And in fact, there was no one selected except for the names on the list that was created by this order instruction.
It's unclear from the record, Your Honor. Are there no further questions?
Thank you, counsel. Counsel for the appellant, you have the opportunity for rebuttal.
Your Honors, I have three brief points. First, to respond to Judge Stuckey's question about whether or not this was waiver. This court should absolutely apply the law of the case doctrine. But if it decides, because the government has not shown that the lower court's holding was clearly erroneous. If the court decides not to do that, though, we would draw the court's attention to RCM 912 Bravo, which talks about a motion to stay based on improper member selection. And it says failure to make a timely motion under this subsection shall waive it unless there's a violation of several provisions, including RCM 502 Alpha 1, which basically restates the exact same criteria from Article 25 UCMJ.
You're not arguing that anyone that was put on the court-martial didn't meet the Article 25 criteria, are you?
We're not conceding that, Your Honor. We're stating, though, that the...
Well, let me put it a different way. Do you have any evidence that anyone that was put on this court-martial did not meet the Article 25 criteria?
No, Your Honor, but countless others were also impermissibly excluded.
Also, with reference to the what you refer to as the hidden secret instruction, as I read the affidavit, all it says is that they were unaware of it.
Yes, Your Honor, and it was not. It appears to be not publicly available.
Where is that in the record?
It's not in the record, Your Honor, and appellant on the at the lower court.
No, where in the record is it that it's not publicly available? The fact that someone doesn't know about something, or the fact that something isn't turned over in discovery, doesn't mean that it's not publicly available. Where in the record does it say it's not publicly available?
The only thing
that's not what the affidavit says.
The only thing in the record is an inference, Your Honor, that this has been going on since 2008 and has not been challenged until now, until it came up in a different case for a different issue.
So the fact that defense counsel failed to challenge something means that it's not available?
Under these facts, yes, Your Honor.
But there's no factual finding by anyone, let alone the CCA, that was hidden, unavailable, or anything like that.
It was a discovery violation from the CCA, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor. My second point is the government stated under Kirkland the appellant has the burden to show that there was improper motive. That is incorrect. The SJA in
Bartlett.
Yes, Your Honor?
I think the government said under Bartlett, didn't they not?
Maybe I misheard them, Your Honor, and I see my time is up. May I briefly?
Yeah, you have 3 points. Go ahead and make them, please.
Oh, thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate that. In Kirkland, the SJA testified that the convening authority knew that he knew the Article 25 criteria and knew he could pick anyone from his claimancy. But there, this court still found reversal is necessary, and we have the exact same situation here. Briefly, on my third point, Your Honor, if this court does not reverse here, convening authorities will continue to do this. There's already two other convening authorities recently who made similar instructions, including one that the instruction was enacted in October 2014, after this.
It's not structural error.
No, Your Honor, not.
No, I mean, that's really what you're saying, is if they do this, because we need to make sure that they don't do this, then we're going to, per se, reverse convictions.
On the facts of this case, it is necessary, Your Honor, and then that will also give guidance to convening authorities in the future.
What's different about this case than any other case?
The facts of this case are more egregious than Kirkland, Your Honor, due to the discovery violation and
the discovery violation. They didn't turn over something that was reasonably within the discovery date, but there's no showing that it was because they were trying to keep it hidden.
No, Your Honor. But at the same time, appellant did not have the opportunity to litigate this at trial, and where the
second because the defendant's attorney didn't look at the instruction.
Once again, Your Honor, from nowhere in the record is it clear that the defense had access to this instruction. The instruction on its face doesn't have a distribution list.
At the end of the day, yes, it does.
But that doesn't go to the defense shop, Your Honor. The lower court, Your Honor, found that it was a discovery violation and that it should have been turned over to the defense. So the law of the case doctrine should apply in this issue, Your Honor.
But the two things aren't mutually exclusive, counsel.
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you, Your Honors.
Okay, thank you. The case is now submitted, and the court stands in recess until further order of the court.